91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio.
Good afternoon, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI Radio, where our broad community with many perspectives comes together. And that community is you. This is Aspen Green with my co-host, Kathy Harris, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can learn more about our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. You can find past shows of ours to enjoy. Our guest today is Carolyn Gorst of Compass Affordable Housing, and I'm going to turn the show over to you, Kathy, so we can hear more about this great program.
Well, thanks, Aspen. And we are really delighted that Carolyn Gorst could join us today. Carolyn is the Director of Community Engagement and Development for Compass Affordable Housing, a Tucson native and graduate of the University of Arizona, yay, where she studied elementary education. She's also obtained an Associate of Applied Science degree from Pima Community College in both graphic design and business communications. Carolyn has worked in the Tucson nonprofit community for the past 20 and more years, working with Christian Care Companies, Fellowship Square Tucson, and Junior Achievement of Arizona. Carolyn, welcome to Broad Perspectives.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
You know, affordable housing is such a timely topic right now. You can hardly pick up the newspaper without reading about it. And according to the Arizona Housing and Human Services, in the last 10 years, the number of people experiencing homelessness has increased by nearly 500%. And according to the National Low Income Housing Coalition, Arizona has only 24 affordable and available homes for every 100 extremely low-income people, 24 available for every 100 people who need them. That is depressing. And that's where agencies like Compass Affordable Housing come in. So, Carolyn, tell us about Compass Affordable Housing. What do they do? What is their mission?
I'm very glad you asked that. So, Compass Affordable Housing, our mission is actually very simple. Our goal is to improve the quality of family and community life by providing low-cost housing with support services and programs that build foundations and lead to self-sufficiency. We really believe that when people live in well-managed, quality housing that they can afford, it becomes a catalyst to better health, family stability, and their personal independence. We take a pride in our space. They're able to become a part of the larger socioeconomic fabric of our community. They're able to engage. And another part of what we see as our purpose and vision is creating an engaged community that works together to increase housing and that is affordable at local, state, and even national levels. So every person has safe, secure, and stable housing.
Okay, so having stable housing helps the community as well as an individual family.
Absolutely.
Of course. Give us a little bit of history. How and when did this organization start?
So Compass Affordable Housing actually grew out, and we often get this question, oh, what happened to Compass Health? Well, we actually grew out of Compass Healthcare Foundation. Way back in the 90s, there was an organization called Compass Healthcare Foundation here in Tucson, and they saw firsthand how the lack of affordable housing was impacting the health outcomes of their clients. So around 2006, they underwent a reorganization and a mission change to actually address the critical need of safe, good quality, and affordable housing for people that were moving out of addiction, substance abuse, and had behavioral health issues. Compass Affordable Housing was born out of that movement. And in 2008, they brought in our current CEO, Marianne Bierling. And as the record books say, the rest is history. We went on to build our three affordable housing communities that we manage, and with Alvord Court over on Park and Drexel, Downtown Motors, which was the old Downtown Motors Hotel. And then our first property that was Glenstone Village in the 05 area. And that's where we saw the biggest opportunity to make an impact in Tucson was being in that affordable housing space that addressed the need for support services that makes a difference in someone moving from homelessness to hope.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense. If somebody's living on the street, they're certainly going to have more health problems, physical health, mental health, emotional health. It's just sort of a basic everybody's got to have.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, what is the criteria for getting into affordable housing?
So affordable housing with the permanent affordable housing support services that we do, we're working primarily with people that are moving out of homelessness with little to no income, 30 to 40% AMI. We're talking people that might be on fixed incomes. The average income of the household we serve is just over $14,000 a year. So when you do the math, they're making a little over $1,000 a month. This puts them into a very challenging position when the average rent rates in Tucson are climbing up to over $1,000 a month. How many of us could pay 50, 60, 70% of our monthly income just on housing and then still be able to be stabilized in the rest of our lives?
Just from my own knowledge, there seems to be a misperception that people who are homeless are just, you know, they just don't feel like going to get a job or whatever. It, you know, they're working. Many of these people are working people that cannot afford it to live in a house or an apartment.
You are absolutely right, Kathy. One of my favorite success stories is one of our participants who she and her husband actually became homeless about 5.5 years ago. And she was working or going on interviews and trying to find jobs the whole time she was homeless. When I got to sit down and talk to her, when I first met her, the first thing that came out of her mouth was, "Do you know how hard it is to get and hold a job when you don't have a way to bathe every day?" And just that statement just resonated with me. And it's kind of stuck with me because it's so true. We forget that many people that we work with, we see they do have some type of income. They are working. They are trying to do their best. They just don't have the support services or the resources to know where to go next and to get that extra step up so that they can step out of the cycle of poverty and homelessness.
We were talking the other day, I read this article that in Sedona, they're trying to make it legal for people who are working there. I mean, Sedona is an expensive place. People have jobs, but there's no affordable housing. So they're living in their cars. And so they're trying to do something legal so that they won't get arrested for sleeping in their cars in a particular parking lot. What is wrong with this picture?
Exactly. We're building some phenomenal housing, community, multifamily living, and yet we aren't addressing the basic issue, which is it affordable for the population living around you? And when we talk about making a space for people to feel welcome and create community and neighborhoods, it really does start with the permanent housing piece, whatever that looks like, tiny homes, apartment homes, multifamily, communal living. There's many options, but you still have to have that space.
Yeah. Okay. So people, they meet your criteria, you get them into affordable housing. So what happens then? Are there services available for the people living in these communities to make sure that they're successful?
That is a fantastic question. One of the key factors we believe in, it's even in our mission statement, is that housing alone is not the solution. getting people safely housed and then making sure that they have access to the support services and resources they need to build their future is just as important as the roof over their heads. So with our communities that we work with, we provide personalized support services. So if someone is needing assistance getting their healthcare, they're going to be able to work directly one-on-one with someone to get healthcare. If they have a need to get their children enrolled in school, community housing assistants work with them to make sure that they're getting their kids enrolled in a neighborhood school, that they are getting their resumes together. We also do workshops on financial literacy, budgeting. We have our healthy home market that addresses the issues of nutrition and poverty, because many households living on fixed incomes don't always get to have access to healthy foods. So it becomes very important to make sure that we're helping them learn the basics of creating healthy lifestyles for themselves and their families. And we actually host a market that lets them shop for free produce and healthy groceries. Those services, combined with training to get employed and stayed employed, conflict resolution, as well as stabilized rents, there they know how much they're going to pay each month, gets them started on a track that they can begin building and maintaining their own household and their future success.
Wow, that is a lot of services.
It is a lot.
it sounds fabulous. How are these services paid for? Where does your funding come from for all this?
Isn't that a great question? We're very lucky that we work with many community partners. We are not trying to be all things to all people. So we are able to partner with community partners like Gap Ministry for our healthy home market, or that we are able to work with Beacon Group that has the hiring employment training for people with disabilities. We have partners like Intermouth and Mountain Health Centers that provide services in behavioral health that we are not directly providing, but we can refer people to, get them connected with other community partners that are going to do the best job for them. And then our programs around our employment services and our healthy home market, those are all funded by the generosity of individuals, foundations, and corporations here in our community. They are not part of a assistance program people can sign up for. They are the critical support we believe people need to become self-sufficient, and that we have included as part of our housing services. So it comes through our special events and the generosity of our community.
It sounds like a fabulous program. I'm very impressed by all of this. I think this might be a good time for a music break, though. Aspen, what do you think?
Oh, you know me. I always think it's a great time for a music break. The song that you chose was The House That Built Me, and it's sung by Miranda Lambert. Do you want to tell us why you chose that song for today's show?
The first and easy answer is it's all about how houses can be such a part of who we become. And I work in affordable housing. But the real answer is I was very blessed in life to grow up with an extended family surrounding me. And to this day, when I hear this song, it always reminds me of how much a part the stability and safety and security that our family and where we live and how we're raised plays in making us who we are.
Okay, that's a great reason. The song received nominations in three categories: Single of the Year, Song of the Year, and Music Video of the Year at the 2010 CMA Awards. The House That Built Me is a song written by Tom Douglas and Alan Shamblin and recorded by the American country music artist Miranda Lambert. Blake Shelton actually really originally was set to do the song, but when Miranda heard it, she emotionally reacted to the lyrics and immediately wanted to record it herself. It was released in March 2010 as the third single from her third studio album, Revolution. So let's give a listen to The House That Built Me, sung by Miranda Lambert. 91.3 KXAI Tucson. Please check us out on Broad Perspectives radio page at kxci.org. And we return to our interview with Carolyn Gorst of Compass Affordable Housing.
And I did love listening to that song. Thank you for choosing it. Carolyn, you described a lot of your programs and all the great services that you give. I'm wondering, do you have any way of evaluating these programs to see if they really work and how much they help people become successful?
Absolutely. Part of our work is around our tenant services or our intensive support services, working direct to meet people where they are. So we do have a lot of training that we do for our team. Each person has different levels of success. So understanding where their goals are, helping educate and expand people's abilities so that they can reach not just their goals, but then do some smart goal planning around where's the next step I'm going to do. Think about it for a moment like this. If you have lived on no income or such limited income that you are daily making a choice between do I eat or do I have heat and running water, or even do I pay for a room or do I eat? When you suddenly start earning income, you feel extremely rich, like you have won the lottery, and you don't always know what to do with that extra income. Someone else might say, oh, but how do they manage on $17, $18 an hour? That's not a livable wage. When you have had $5 to $8 an hour, basically, it is a lot. And so part of our measurement is helping people set that budget and then holding them accountable to meet that budget, setting smart goals and holding people accountable, giving them strategies to be accountable to meet those goals. And then we also do work with the measurements and standards of the organizations that we work with so that we can share information, outcomes, and know, are people taking advantage of the programs? Are they able to hit their goals or their goalposts, so to speak, and making a plan for where they're going to go next?
Okay, just to bring it down to real life people, do you have any examples of people whose lives have been significantly changed through being in this program?
Absolutely. Real life. One of my favorite people that I love to talk to, his name is Leonard. And Leonard had actually been homeless for almost a decade. He was a gentleman who made some poor choices as a young man and ended up spending some time in jail. And after his incarceration, found himself on the streets and homeless. He was referred over to Compass Affordable Housing through the county community housing program, and we began working with him. Leonard had not had income or a job that provided steady income in so long that he was very nervous about how was he going to interact, how was he going to be a part of society again. And he worked very closely with his support coordinator. He was able to get a job and start work within months after getting settled into his new apartment. And he was an exemplary employee. And this started to build up his confidence. And then after 3 months of paying his own rent, he started to build a little more confidence. And he met with his support coordinator. And she said, well, have you bought anything for yourself? What hobbies are you doing? For the first time in his life, and this is a 50-year-old gentleman, he actually had the ability to have hobbies and income to do something for himself that was not a basic need. And that is something a lot of people don't realize, is we have so many opportunities to I want this and I want that every day. But he actually, for the first time in his 50s, had the opportunity to think about what do I want, not what do I need. Then he went out and decided to start visiting thrift shops and found out that he was a thrifter. He loved the thrift shops. And he was so proud when he came home when to his apartment, he met with his support coordinator. And he said, I just have to show you this. I found this bowl that is just like what my grandmother had when I was growing up. And he had bought it in a thrift store. And it was his very precious personal belonging because it was such a precious memory from his childhood that it reminded him of his grandmother and growing up. And last time we checked in with him, not only was he doing fantastic at work and had furnished his apartment, but he was saving up to buy a car. And his next big goalpost was to actually move into buying a house and was very honest that the tools that he learned, that he had not learned as a child, but that he had to learn as an adult working with our team, is where his life turned around and his success started. Because now he did have steady employment. He had self-confidence. He had hobbies. He learned he was actually a pretty good cook. It completely is a 180 degree change from where he was when he started working with us to where he is today.
Wow, that's a great story to hear. And I'm sure there are plenty of other people that have been through this program who have equally successful stories. So that's great. Thanks for telling us about that. You know, I'm kind of wondering what you think. Where do you think we are overall in this shortage of affordable housing? It's discouraging when you read the papers. Do you see any reason for optimism? Are we making any progress?
I think if we're being realistic, there are budget issues around affordable housing, and the funding for affordable housing has been decreased, especially for the city of Tucson and Pima County. The interest rates and building costs have gone up over the last few years significantly, which makes it higher cost to build new properties and new living. The initial outlook for 2025, people can think it's not very optimistic, it's a little bleak. However, if we really think about how we can take private businesses that want to address the issue of homelessness and pair it with nonprofit organizations who develop and build affordable housing with support services, I think that we can become creative and that we don't have to say it's hopeless. I think there is hope. It's just going to take being creative and not doing what's always been done. Just putting someone into with a roof over their head isn't going to solve the problem. We have to address the human, and the human is needing more than just the roof.
Yeah, I think you found the secret to that, and that's what you're doing there at Compass Affordable Housing. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing all that with us. We're out of time, really, but let me just very quickly ask you, do you use volunteers? Do you need volunteers? Do you need donations? And where should people go to get more information about you?
Yes, yes, and yes. Very quickly. You can always learn more about us at our website, www.compassaffordablehousing.org, and or you can just Google Compass Affordable Housing. We are always looking for people to volunteer. We have volunteer opportunities with our community garden or our healthy home market, as well as office work and administration. Our big fundraiser that's coming up is an online silent auction that's built around getaways and staycations, and that's coming up in August. And the information will all be up on our website in another week, so people can pre-register to be a part of the Great Escape this summer at a silent auction.
Thanks, Carolyn. Thanks so much for being here and telling us about Compass Affordable Housing. But we are out of time, right, Aspen?
We are out of time, and we I so appreciate Carolyn Gorst for coming on to our show and talking about Compass Affordable Housing, which helps low-income folks. I mean, honestly, I felt very close to not being able to afford housing, and I have an income. So this is a wonderful program that gives people hope. And thanks to all of you out there for supporting Broad Perspectives Radio at kxci.org. You can learn more about our program at kxci.org and just look for the Broad Perspectives page. Right now, stay tuned, because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.